am he. So who's the he? We recognize, as I mentioned earlier, the I am verses. I am the light, I am the living bread, I am the resurrection. But when he says, I am he, there's at least three parts to this. One is, I am the one of God. Not only am I God, but I'm the one that God the Father has sent. The second part is, as according to the prophets, I am the servant, and according to his own words, I am the good shepherd. So how do we see those three parts right in before our eyes as we hear the text? How do we see that being fulfilled? It was a quiet night. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, had fallen asleep, and Jesus had come back. Can't you pray with me? Can't you stay awake? Maybe the only noise, I don't know if there was a breeze, a rustling, or what have you. The Bible doesn't tell us, but maybe the only noise was Jesus himself and the struggle that he had as he was praying to the Father. I wonder what that sounded like. But in the midst of that, I am he. He knew what was going to happen. Not guessed. Not, you know, took a shot at it. Not figured this could be. He knew what would happen. He knew who was coming even before they left the temple. He knew who they were in the sense that all, as he is true God, true man, he knew their names. He knew their family members, their parents, their ancestry, all the way back to Noah and Adam and Eve. He knew everything. As they were searching for him, they hadn't figured out who he was, but he knew who he was. There was never a doubt that he was true God, true man, the Messiah. That means the anointed one in Hebrew. Christ, anointed one in Greek. He is the one to be sent for our redemption, for our salvation. I am he. Three simple words. And being all-knowing, here they come, and he knows that they come with their torches, and they come with their weapons, and he knew that they expected a fight. I mean, who gets arrested very casually, very nice-like? Oh, go ahead, you know. Put the cuffs on me. But it's often more indignant and cries of injustice and blaming others and all kinds of behavior, human behavior. But that's not him. I am he. I am the one that was foretold that would suffer and die and rise again. I am he, the one you seek, but you don't even know what you seek. You're seeking Jesus of Nazareth in the sense of a man. You're seeking a troublemaker that stirs the pot. You're seeking the one that the chief priest doesn't like because I got in his way of his plans. You're seeking, but I'm more than that. And so the soldiers arrive with their torches and their weapons, and it is the soldiers of the temple, and it is members of the temple, and it is some Roman military soldiers along with them. And it is portrayed as being a pretty good-sized group. And in that expectation of violence, there you see Peter fulfilling that violence when he pulls the sword and cuts off the servant of the high priest. But that's not who Jesus is. I am the he, I am the one that gives his life. You don't get to take it. In fact, that's demonstrated because when they asked, or when they answered the question of Jesus, you know, whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, I am he. And they all fall down. The Gospel of John tells us that everybody that came for him falls to the ground. You can't take me unless I allow it. And so the second time, you heard the text, you know, they drew back, they fell to the ground, so he asked them again, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I told you that I am he. I don't want any doubts that I am the one, not them, not the disciples, not the 12, including Judas who's leading them, not anybody else. I am the one. There's only one. He doesn't turn to them and say, this is us, you know. He says, I am he. I am true God, true man. And there's only one. The next thing we see is as he allows them to get up and take him, he has said, I am he, and they're not knocked down. They don't fall down a second time. It is by his permission that he is arrested. The one who's true God, true man, has control. They don't have control. They don't have authority. The only authority they have, and Jesus and Pilate sort of talked about this, is the authority that Jesus allows, that God allows. And so they arrest him. We are reminded that, you know, when he was talking in John chapter 10, he talks about how I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Here Jesus allows them to take him so that he can be the one that the prophets in the Old Testament foretold that he would be like a lamb led to slaughter. And he wouldn't open up his mouth. There wasn't the crying, there wasn't the desperation, there wasn't the yelling, there wasn't the name calling, there wasn't the blaming. You see, that's us. The one who dies in our place does not act like us. We're selfish. We're self-centered. We even, by our own nature, have this intense desire to live, and we will fight for it at the cost of anybody else. Our own survival, sometimes it comes down to the most important thing ever. We cut in line, we drive fast, we run through intersections. Isn't that putting yourself first? And that's just Murfreesboro. On a global scale, we put ourselves first. Preschoolers want to be the first in line. I remember seeing that at a school that I oversaw. You know, and on it goes. And even with our two daughters, they want to be first. The oldest says on the phone, this is your oldest favorite. Well, I only have one oldest, so I guess she can be the favorite. The youngest calls, this is the youngest favorite. We want to be first. We want to be the most treasured. Jesus is first in servanthood, in sacrifice, the giving of himself for the sake of others. And that's why he tells them, let the other men go. Let the disciples, let those who follow me go. If you seek me and I am he, I allow you to take me. And that authority still came to play because there's a prophecy about he would not lose one except the son of perdition. He would not lose one except Judas. And at the at that meal in the upper room, the Passover dinner, you know, Jesus even talked about the one who betrayed me, and he offers Judas a chance to change directions, and Judas doesn't do it. Jesus doesn't lose Judas. Judas runs away from Jesus. It's his own sinful nature. It's his own selfishness. It's his own greed. It's his own perception of surviving and everything else. And so Judas turns away from Christ. But the other disciples, they ran. They would not be sacrificed today. Many of them did die a martyr's death, but not that day or the next. And so we see Jesus, the I am He, true God, true man, servant, coming to take our place, and a good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. This is Lent. What does this tell you? Well, it reminds us that sometimes we are selfish. Sometimes we want to play God. We want to be in charge. We want to be the boss. Instead of listening to God, we want to tell God. It's part of our human nature that rears its ugly head. We know the solutions. We know how to fix this. And we have all the expectation that God would listen. We put ourselves first. Sometimes it's in our own seeking of pleasure. And sometimes, as parents will do that, one or the other, the children will suffer and the family pays a price. We will not sacrifice. In so many ways, we draw a line in the sand as to how far we will go. I was at a pastor's conference. It was really interesting. And a colleague I've known for years, he really hadn't changed. It didn't surprise me, but him and his wife were at our dinner table. And it was a buffet line, and we had all gathered our food, and we ended up sitting at this round table. And I hadn't talked to him for many years, at least not recently. We reconnected, him and his wife. And afterwards, you know, Gwen and I and some of the others, we get up and, you know, it's disposable dishes because this is a large conference and who wants to wash dishes? And a church congregation willingly hosts this dinner. And so we get up and we take our stuff to the trash cans, and my colleague and his wife left their stuff there. And I've always known him to do that. He doesn't pick up his own dishes, even at a church dinner or at a pastor's conference. That's for others. There's ways in which we refuse to serve, and that sounds silly, but it's indicative of our ego and our pride and our me first. Instead of following Jesus, who I came to serve, not be served, and boy, who's serving today, you know, and things like that. And so we fall into this selfishness that Jesus himself refuses to surrender to. And he gives of himself. And as a shepherd watches over the flock, so Jesus Christ watches over us. And he lays down his life. You have the I am verses of Scripture, but the I am He stands alone. It stands twice in the Gospel of John and in the other narratives. And we are reminded that there is no other Savior. There is no other Redeemer. There is no other true God, true man. There is no other Good Shepherd. There is no other Jesus of Nazareth. There is no other one in whom we have life and salvation. Lent is an awesome time, a great time to come back to being refocused on the one, the He, Jesus, so that we too don't stray. And we too don't put ourselves first. And we too, we follow our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we always look for ways to use the gifts in the way that God created us to help one another. That He is alive in our hearts. When Jesus says, I am He, we as believers, we get to say, I have He. Doesn't sound right in English, right? I have Him right here. And therefore, my life becomes a reflection in the one whom I live. Amen.